Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Let's take a look at the first reading for today from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So there's a promise right there. He doesn't want you to grieve like unbelievers who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, do you? Do you honestly believe that? So too will God through Jesus bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That is, we have died. That indeed we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. There is a heaven, brothers and sisters. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Which do you choose? As I said the other day on the program, you can't drift into heaven. But you surely can drift into hell by making choice after choice after choice that leads you far from the Lord, bit by bit and piece by piece. We don't want that, none of us. But we've got to make, as I've often said on this program, we've got to make decisions. You can't just, oh, well, maybe I'll get there. You've got to decide, this is my destination. And then you work out your map. What's the best way of getting there? You study God's word. You see what the most important points are and the most important interior destinations you should reach along the way. God will show you the path. Read his word every day. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Or is being a Catholic or being a Christian, is that like membership in a club? That you come when you want and go when you want and have no obligations. You just like it on your resume, so to speak. Don't stay there if that's where you are. Don't stay there. You need to make a clear choice, a very clear choice. God has much to give you, much to give you. If you give yourself to him, you always have a free will. You can say no, but you say no to your own peril and your own unhappiness, perhaps even eternal unhappiness. Please, please listen to me carefully. Don't drift. Start to make some decisions. Psalm 96, the Lord comes to judge the earth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. For great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Awesome is he beyond all gods. For all the gods of the nations are things of naught, but the Lord made the heavens. It's the Lord. You could look at all the nations and all the rulers of the world, and they are nothing absolutely nothing in comparison to God himself. Make your choices in the light of who will enable you to live forever. And the gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had grown up and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Notice who's reading this. Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. That word from Scripture, that word from the prophets, is being fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is now standing in the synagogue, and he's reading from the scroll. Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And in those days, among the Jewish people, when they were going to deliver something of importance, they sat. We stand, they sat. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. Why do you think they looked intently? There was a certain kind of life and fire and power in his words. They couldn't have identified it, but they were very curious, very interested. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He's saying something highly momentous. This prophecy from the Old Testament, from Isaiah the prophet, revered prophet, he's saying this passage is now fulfilled in me. All spoke highly of him. They don't yet know the implications. All spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they ask, is this not the son of Joseph? And he said to them, surely you will quote me this proverb, physician, cure yourself, and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum. And he said, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. What's he saying? What's he saying? That God sent his prophets to the poor, the seemingly unworthy, the unnoticed, the little ones, or those he knew were open to hear. And they were all filled with fury. We are the chosen people. And they were. They rose up, they drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. Jesus, they all said he was so gracious, and oh, isn't he the son of Joseph, and isn't he this, and isn't he that? And then he starts to say some things that they would consider blasphemy. What would you do if Jesus, I've often wondered this, if I were in church someday and a man that I hadn't seen before stood up and basically said he was the Christ. Now, If that happened in our time, we would know it was a hoax. But what would I have done if I lived in Jesus' time? And I heard Jesus say those. Who am I by nature? Am I a skeptic? Am I gullible that I'll believe everything is true? Where whoever it comes from, I think it's true. Or am I the kind that stands back and folds my arms and says, prove it? I often think I find it worthwhile sometimes to put myself in these scenes where Jesus is in effect revealing himself and they grow in fury because they think he's blaspheming. They don't take the time to really listen. They want to kill him. And I think, what would I have done? First of all, I would have been in the back because the men were first, and I would have been behind them. But would I have had the courage, if it had been appropriate, would I have had the courage to ask Jesus? Would I have the courage to say, I want to hear more from him? Like some of them you read in Scripture say, I want to listen more. Would I have done that? Or would I have been just caught up in the crowd? Whatever the crowd did, I joined in. Do I really think, and do I make firm stands on the things I believe, or do I try to just get along with the crowd? How do I live? Wherever you come out on that, we need more of God and more of God's grace. Some of us by nature are more pliable. Some of us by nature are more able to hear the truth and no matter what other people say, we'll do what's right. Some people, it comes a little easier to than others. But what would you do? I think, brothers and sisters, that in the public squares of our land, there are going to be times and events and questions with all of the challenges and the insecurities right now, politically and in many other ways in our land. How clear are you about what you believe? And by his grace and power, not by yours, but by his grace and power, are you in a position to be ready to defend the truth of who God is, of what God wants of his people, of the promises that God has made, of the reward that lies ahead if we are faithful to him? I think it's a question and a series of questions we really have to take a look at. Do I have God's priorities in my life or not? Are they just my priorities? And my priorities often deal with protecting ourselves. I want you to take a long look at yourself. Ask God to help you, that we may become a strong people with one mind and one heart in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.